disaster proclamation issued by Governor
Pritzker
pursuant to the power vested in me under the Illinois Emergency Management Agency Act and the City of Yorkville is encouraging social distancing during the pandemic by allowing remote attendance for this specific meeting, the public works meeting at 6 p.m. 12/21/2020. So first start here, any citizen comments?
Nope.
Moving on to minutes for correction approval from our last meeting on November 16th, 2021.
I'm good.
I'm good.
All good. Jason, you got it?
Nope.
All right. We'll go into the minutes as of last meeting, November 16th, 2021. On to new business. First item, PW 2021-69, the snow operations report.
Luckily, this is kind of just a preview. So we've been very fortunate so far this year not to have any snow. This just kind of goes over what we went through to get ready for winter, which has been kind of a long, drawn-out process, and it's still not over. We had trouble getting salt. We had trouble getting parts for our grind making machine, and we still don't have two large trucks. So we will be down, but we do have, you know, three extra employees this year compared to last year, so that's going to help. And we were able to purchase three small slide-in salt spreaders for our one-ton trucks. So that will be better than, they will be near what the big trucks can put up, but it's going to be something. So we're all trucks are running and ready to go. We're just waiting for the snow.
Now that that's all you do.
Yeah.
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 Okay. Never happened yet, but.
I would rather prepare and wait than be caught off guard.
Anybody have any questions relative to the snow ops report?
Just as a preview for mailbox complaints, whenever it does snow measurably, and we will get them, our policy is basically if the plow pushes the snow into the mailbox and the mailbox falls over, there's no reimbursement. If the plow blade or the truck itself runs over a mailbox, and we can usually tell pretty easily from an investigation, then we do reimburse up to $75. That amount, that policy has been in place for 20 plus years. We do usually have people question it, usually end up talking about it before the season starts. And so, you know, the offer is always on the table for us to change that at some point or another based on city council's discretion. So.
Spark. Anybody else got any questions?
It's like 4 or 5 a year that we actually pay for.
I would say so, yeah. I mean, we knock over anywhere from a dozen to several dozen, depending on, you know, how bad the snow is each year. And we try to walk people through. We have an appeal process, investigation process, where more than one person will look at it. But, you know, usually people are upset by it, so.
Yeah.
Yep.
So you guys are in camera action.
Which actually helps us in many cases.
Yeah.
Not really. The reason being is now that all the mailboxes are starting to get old. Besides the brand new ones out in Grand Reserve, which are not all hand mailboxes and Braintree, they're all over 15 years old.
Yeah.
Now, some people do replace them, I'm not saying that, but for the most part, they're the same mailboxes that were put in the early 2000s, and they're just at the end of their life.
That's curious, like the calendars with no...
No sidewalk.
No sidewalk and no curbs.
Now, I mean, usually, top speed of our plow trucks, I mean, if you're in a residential neighborhood, the big trucks are probably 20 miles an hour, so you're not getting up to speed to really move that snow. It ends up being the second pass where you just kind of roll that snow over that and brings it off. And honestly, it kind of over to some of the older inputs, people tend to take care of them more. They've changed them out more recently because they're older mailbox and they're probably under their mailbox. Second.
It's going to be very costly for me if they ever hit it with a plow.
Well, I got nothing.
Good.
Jason, you got anything?
So I guess I would just like to add, I think you guys did a fantastic job last year getting all the stuff that we had done was in regards to snow plowing. There was a lot of very heavy wet snow, as you guys have pointed out. So it was challenging. The questions or I guess comments or complaints that I got last year, just so that you guys know, and maybe we can discuss this with the team this year before we get going. Obviously, mailbox isn't one, and you just covered that. There's not a whole lot you can do, especially when it's heavy wet snow. And you have to go a certain speed, you're not gonna move it the right way either, depending on what you're driving. And then the other one was, I did have a couple speed complaints going too fast down certain roads in my ward. And then the third one, I had a cul-de-sac in Countryside that got missed. And you guys said, yep, it was our mistake, sorry, got there right away, which we appreciated. So everybody appreciated the quick response. You sent somebody out there right away. So thank you for that. And I don't know, you guys probably have your assigned routes, and if you have somebody filled in for somebody else, you probably go over the routes. But I just want to make sure that that cul-de-sac and Countryside gets made sure we don't miss it this year. Give them a little bit of love.
Absolutely.
Fantastic job. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Jason.
Thanks, Jason. Anything else?
You're welcome. Thanks.
Appreciate it. All right. Move on. VW 2021-7. End of year leaf operation report.
Absolutely. Just a short little memo there, kind of outlining our what we did for leaf pickup this year, which was, of course, a little challenging, to say the least. The Mother Nature just didn't want to cooperate with us, so our tools were down. But we were kind of stuck between a rock and a hard place with the farmer wanting to get his field worked before it would normally would be winter frozen. So, you know, we were kind of stuck in that way, and Mark had asked me to reach out to him next year, which is the last year of our contract with this particular person, and see if we can at least have a portion of that field where we could dump in the winter and maybe help him spread it and then he can till it in the spring. So that's something I'm gonna be working with him on that.
Almost like an auxiliary area.
Yeah, a little bit. We want to make sure it's protected. It's right up next to the Hampton Inn.
Okay.
So we just don't want leaves blowing around all winter. Kind of defeats the purpose.
Yeah.
But we want to make sure that, you know, if something like this happens again, we could have an alternative.
Okay.
And I kind of listed what we're going to have to really look at here coming up in the future years to keep providing that service. And, you know, unfortunately, one of them is to purchase an additional leaf vacuum. You know, and we've talked about additional, just a regular standalone vacuum. We've also talked about a unit that mounts on a truck. But with trucks being 2 years out, it kind of becomes a little difficult. But we are, that leaf vacuum has been here basically since 2000-ish, 2002. And the program has grown tremendously since then. So it's not only served its time, it's probably being utilized at the maximum. Just to kind of give you an idea, when we bought that first machine, it was $30,000. Now they're $110,000.
So if we get to a stage where they're both operational, that works, so we have the existing one and the new one, does that allow us to pick up faster, a bit more frequently?
It'll probably allow us to do it in the same time frame.
Yeah.
I mean, we're getting to the point where that 2 weeks and 3 days is just, it's all we can do, and we've been using alternative methods by using kind of a leaf plow,
yeah,
with a little tractor, which is okay, but it's very manpower because if you've got a tractor, you've got like a blower, you've got a skid steer driver, a loader, and a dump truck operator. So it just, but it's something we had to do this year. Just kind of for time.
Which is nice about it. It's not in every city, respective municipalities or even a leaf pickup program.
Every municipality is kind of the residents love the program, but every municipality wishes they never would have run.
It is the truest definition of a double service. I mean, we contract out and pay our garbage company to pick up bagged leaves, and then we also do it unbagged. So, you know, you talk about service consolidation from time to time. There are towns that have given it up and have fully contracted it out and saved themselves money and really more time and aggravation than anything.
Yeah.
Is that anything that you've ever discussed?
Yeah, during the Great Recession, that was one of the, what staff felt was one of the highest services to be put on the chopping block because it truly, you know, did have an alternative that was acceptable. And it was also, I think, one of the first things the city council at the time took off the table, you know, simply because of value and how well liked it is. So, okay. Yeah.
Quickest one to the chopping block for us.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Assuming the police actually follow them as well.
Yeah.
Right.
So, one thing I noticed in this was it seems like that that month of December is so hard on you because you're trying to get plows converted up to the trucks and so leaf. So you have, are there people out there, like businesses that would come in and pick them up that month?
I'm sure that we could bid it out and find somebody to do it. I think you would fall over when you saw the price.
Yeah, the best alternative to that is we did research based on somebody else's comment that there are two municipalities that we're aware of in the Chicagoland region that do bagged leaf pickup through the end of December, and one of them is Batavia, the other one is Geneva, and they wrap that into their garbage contracts. So Batavia benefits because I think there's a group transfer station right there, so they get super low garbage rates anyway. But we have, I think, a group transfer station out in Plano now, so we should be benefiting that. We'll see, you know, in our discussion on that. I have had conversations with both Groot and Waste Management, and those are the only two that they listed that they knew of that did that. And they do have farms downstate where they truck the leaves down there, and they're open, you know, through December, and they basically deal with it. So when we were quoted for a leaf pickup extension this year and a couple years ago, you know, it's a $5,000 to $10,000 a week job for the garbage companies to do it. For only that first week in December, so basically extending it 1 week. I'm sure that as December moves on, the price probably goes, you know, up and up and up. When we're negotiating a garbage contract, it's something we're going to explore with whoever we choose to negotiate with to see if that will materially increase the cost to residents because it's a, you know, $2 million annual garbage contract, and so hopefully $20,000 or $30,000 or $40,000 isn't something that they'll bat an eye over, but we'll see.
Got anything?
No.
Just one other thing I just wanted to make sure that I mentioned was that we are looking to move the Parkway tree replacement program to the spring of 23. And that takes probably a good week and a half of our time in October, which we are needing to get the truck ready. And I've been working with one resident and somebody from the Conservation Foundation, updating some of the species of our trees, and I'll be bringing that forward later in the year.
Okay. Thanks, sir. Jason, you got anything?
Guess not.
All right, move on here. New business item number 3, PW 2021-71, a Route 126 in Ashley Road improvements.
All right, we have a memo in the packet that describes the update, but just in general, the improvements were agreed upon back in 2018. As far as the completion date between the developer and the city council, they would have the intersection improvements completed actually in 126. Also, the improvements on Ashley Road completed by the end of November of 2021. They would be what we would call substantially complete. There are a couple of utility conflicts that are holding up the final completion. The pictures and graphics in the memo reflect that. There are some power poles that are in the way. There's an AT&T line that is in the way. Those relocates are in the works. They should be completed over the wintertime here and into the spring. So the project should be 100% complete, you know, in early springtime, certainly complete before summer. So that is the current status of those improvements.
The It is nice track. I've driven out of it a couple times. It's a good thing that they just
bumpy.
Country bumps.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, the major improvement was getting the widening in of the turn lane to Ashley. So all that is done.
Questions and thoughts on that?
Nope.
All good. Thanks, Jason. New business item number 4, PWD 2021-82, a solid waste recommendation.
Okay, so there's a brief cover memo in the packet and condensed and redacted versions of both of Groot's and Waste Management's proposals. In order to negotiate a final contract and kind of wade through all the alternatives and deviations that each proposer had listed, we need some direction on who we should negotiate with. So just as a recap, we did initially put out the RFP with hazardous waste collection being a mandatory part of the contract. A couple days after that, we realized that some haulers might not be able to do that, so we clarified that we wanted a bid that was both without hazardous waste service and with hazardous waste service to see if somebody could even do it and how much it would cost. Groot submitted a far cheaper collection, but they do not have hazardous waste service. And Waste Management gave us a more expensive proposal that has hazardous waste included in it. So their totals in the $28-$29 range, I have not been able to ask them yet if we would have just bid it out, if it would have been cheaper. But the last time we did this 5 years ago, Waste Management was in the $25, $26 a month range without hazardous waste. So my guess is that's just their cost of doing business going forward. But they did clarify, both bidders ahead of time, that hazardous waste was not a mandatory part of the contract. So both bidders submitted what we think is acceptable bids for that, and so we just need to choose whether you want a cheaper service without hazardous waste or a more expensive service with hazardous waste. So I need that direction from this committee before Chanel can go and negotiate an actual contract for your consideration at a future city council meeting. So I don't have a preference one way or another. There's no staff recommendation associated with it, as much as you just need to tell us whether you want hazardous included or not, and we'll go forward from there.
So that's not something that currently exists, as far as I'm aware. So what falls under hazardous waste?
It'd be batteries. It would be oil, paint cans, household cleaners, anything that you're not supposed to throw away, that you're supposed to take to one of the 4 permanent collection sites through Illinois, that I think most people do not do. So we would be providing what I think is a modern service, and probably one of the first in the state to do it.
Okay.
It would be set up similar to how we do the electronic waste, where they call, they set up the date, you put it out at the curb, and then the guy drives by and picks it up and takes it away for you. But the cost differential is about $10 a month between two services. So
I think I'd like to stick to the one that's closest to our rate now, especially since we're going to be raising water rates a lot in the future. So that's how I feel about it.
Okay.
Yeah, that's kind of the way I was leaning as well. The thing I didn't notice in here, but it's a good one, was the difference between Waste Management and Groot was specification on holidays. And there wasn't anything about oversized materials. Would that still be allowed with one?
Yeah, that's our standard. I don't recall that Groot had listed any deviations related to that. We did go through the alternatives and deviations ahead of time. I mean, there are some things that we're just going to say no to, and there are some things that there's no problem with, and then there's some things that we need to negotiate, but nothing that I think is going to be insurmountable.
Yeah, so your point was that kind of looked at that since you looked at the graduated cost.
Just if you jump them here, $10, and then
By the way,
pretty, yeah.
Yep.
The only thing we could do, though, I don't know. I wonder how many people really know where one of the 4 locations. Because I know there's one in the Wooddale off 59 there in Warrenville.
Brookdale. Naperville, technically, but yeah.
Yeah. That's where I take my stuff to there.
Nice.
Because we're outside of that.
Okay.
Is she volunteering to do that for the whole town now?
Sure, I'm bringing here. I'm here off.
The interim hazardous waste disposal site.
I'll get
the
trailer
yes.
Okay. They have banded for you.
Good.
I don't think you just open your back door and they pull it out.
It is no touch. Yep.
No touch yet.
Joe, are you?
No, I'm just stretching. I'm good.
Okay.
Jason, what are your thoughts?
I don't really have any, to be honest.
Joe, did you say Groot or?
Yeah.
Okay.
As long as they're picking up your trash or reducing. So.
Yeah. Craig, did you have any initial thoughts? Okay. Okay. So that's 3 out of 4. We'll negotiate with Groot, see where that leads us, and have a contract to hopefully consider at the January 11th meeting.
Awesome.
So, thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
As far as that one, you will be the right one.
Yeah, put that on the January 11th. Yeah, the Groot did say preliminarily, because they would have to switch out all the cans, obviously. You know, they've got material issues and, you know, there's logistics, but they've said that they can do it as long as we get it approved in January. So,
they'll bring their cans, and then who takes the old ones?
Waste Management will take the old ones back, or... Yeah.
So, with regards to that, because they're different sizes, what would be the process for residents, say they have a 65 a month and 96 gallon? Is that
It would be up for management and then negotiation under the contract. The way we did it 10 years ago now, and it was a much more compressed timeline, they basically defaulted to a 65 at the time. And then they had people call in, and then we just transferred it out over, you know, the course of a few weeks. So we may be able to set up a system so that it's, you know, here's the default, call us if you want something different, and get it worked out over a few weeks. But, you know, we've got a few months to be able to plan that out. So.
Is that both trash and recycling bins that are available?
Yeah, we can set any default that we want within, you know, within the contract negotiation.
I do have a couple questions, actually. Do they, the current system that we have now, they provide larger trash bins per request?
Yep.
The other company, if we went with them, would they be able to do that as well?
Yeah, that's kind of the standard, is that the residents are allowed to select. The one thing that we ran into last time is the proposal was for different prices for the 65 and the 96. And during the negotiations, we dovetailed those two together so that it was the same price. And I think this one was a 20 cents difference between the two, 65 and the 96. Yeah, so we'll probably ask them to, you know, make that a little bit easier for us administration. That way we're not going through and counting different cans. So, and there's a small percentage of people that choose the 33 gallon, mostly seniors, so that one isn't usually too difficult.
Okay. And then how many calls did we take asking if we could do the hazardous material waste pickup?
None that I'm aware of, honestly.
Okay.
It's just something that I saw as a potential, you know, service, and we could be a, you know, kind of a market leader in it. And so we tested the market.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, that's why I guess, I mean, same with the staff recommendation, I guess, on this.
Okay.
Thank you. Now, new business item number 5, PW 2021-73, well number 4, rehabilitation of bid.
All right, so we have a detailed memo and attachments within the packets. Just hit the highlights here and certainly answer any questions that anybody may have. But I guess just taking a step back and setting the stage again, originally we were not anticipating rehabbing well number 4. We had planned to do well number 7 this year. Last summer, Eric and his team had noticed that water levels had declined to be only 50 feet above on the motor. So that's kind of been a danger zone and kind of shifted our actions. And then we immediately recommended that we take care of well number 4 and get that rehab. So the bid packet was put together. And basically, we would have to lower that pump and motor, as well as checking out the equipment to make sure everything is in order, and then get that up and out. that's the reason for the shift, and that's the reason for the bids. We take bids in early December, on December 7th. It was publicly advertised. There was only one bidder, Lane Western. So Lane has constructed all of the wells within the city. They've also performed all the well rehabs. Certainly an industry leader within the well construction business. So the bid schedule is a little bit unique in this case with well rehabs. So there are base bids, base bid items, which are typical standard items you see throughout this type of work. But then there's mandatory alternates that are also asked to be bid upon. These are items that we could run into. It's a little difficult to gauge everything since these pieces of equipment are 1,000 or 1,200 feet below the surface. There's cables, there's piping, there's plumbing over, and those types of things. But we try to lock in the contractor with those prices early on with the original bids. So to try to save city money in the building project. So the bid results are in the packet. It is within our estimate, below our estimate. It's within the budget. It is a confirmed with Rob. So we are recommending moving forward for Lake Western in the amount of $286,627. I'd be happy to take any questions and
just one other piece of clarification is that well four was scheduled for next year anyway. We just built off the years.
Yeah. Yeah.
It wasn't like we just said, oh, maybe something. Once we realized it was due, we knew, so we just flipped the years.
So when they do that and they drop that down out of the danger zone, what's the approximate depth that's at the little bit?
We'll put it at least 100 foot below.
Yeah.
Like 100 foot below the water.
So it takes a while to drop.
Yes.
50 feet. Yep.
Okay.
Yeah. 100-150 feet like the sweet spot.
Yeah.
Spots.
Okay.
Perfect. When you visit PETA, we also have power painting and media replacement schedule.
Any other questions you guys got? Jason, you good?
Yeah, thanks for saving us 3.6%, Brad.
You're welcome anytime.
Forgive me, I don't remember in the notes, and I may not have heard you correctly. Is that, are we good and locked into that, or can that adjust go up or down?
Yeah, so that is the base bid. Could be either.
Okay.
If things go very well, good chances are it will come in less. But you're pulling equipment out from 1,000, 1,200 feet deep, and you never know exactly what you're running into.
Right.
If something significant happens, when everything is inspected, we'll certainly bring back a report immediately to this committee, and we'll keep the committee apprised of the status.
Okay, barring no unforeseen thing, where it's at now, we're pretty confident 3.6% deduction.
Yes.
Awesome. Thank you.
Well, I'm good to move that forward.
I'm
going to hear that for you. On to new business item number 6-2021-74, Lake Commission Allocation Engineering Agreement.
Okay, we have our first tangible expenditure related to our decision at the last meeting to bring on Lake Michigan Water. This is an $88,000 engineering agreement with DEI, basically to provide technical assistance all the way from high-level planning to actual testimony to getting a Lake Michigan permit. So we are required before we can connect, while we're negotiating with DuPage and all these other entities and figuring out how we pay it, to first go to the Illinois Department of Natural Resources, apply for a permit to actually take Lake Michigan water in the future, and then be granted that. That involves public hearings, nationally, internationally sometimes, and real testimony in front of state agencies, asking questions about, you know, our water loss and some other things. So I do not have a future schedule yet of other expenditures that are going to be related to either this process or others. We are drafting that right now as part of our budget proposal, which will come out here in the next probably 6 weeks. And so this is just the first one that came up because Oswego and Montgomery are both prepared to move forward at the same time. The permits all have to be separate. It's not a combined effort, but we'll probably all go at the same time. And so we need to start the planning process in order to get that in motion now. I think that's all I know. Brad, Eric, is there anything you guys wanted to share about that?
No, you covered everything about that. And the hearings, I guess, are very formal, and it's kind of a very rigid process that you go through.
Yep.
Are you representing all three of us?
Nope, just us.
Brad's agreement was with us, but EEI also has a representative.
Yeah, we'll be moving forward with Montgomery's. And we just completed an assistant show we had in our
So just from your resolution that we just approved with DuPage, there's like six different items on there. Figure out financing, negotiate with DuPage, get legislation. This is one of those. All of those line items are basically their own process and, you know, months and years worth of work. So this one isn't necessarily tied to those, other than if we don't ever get this, all those other things aren't going to matter. We probably want to lock this up and get it secured before anybody else asks for a Lake Michigan allocation. So there's a little bit of, not hurry, but, you know, a reason to move forward sooner rather than later.
We have a good surplus in the water fund, so that you'll just take it out of that, right?
Yes.
So when you do, going forward, because I'm more curious about that, how that's going to work, when you're doing the budgets, How are you envisioning budgeting for all these future expenses?
Hopefully with ease and no controversy. But, you know, we do the five-year budget. And so literally we will plug in probably, you know, all the expenditures that we ever think that we can need over that five-year period. Figure out how our cash flow is in that fund and really other funds. I mean, if we wanted to run a deficit in that fund, we may be able to temporarily and have other funds subsidize it, which is something we'll take a look at. But if not, you know, then you would match your water rates and your connection fees and everything else so that your fund doesn't go upside down. So it's a little cart before the horse. You know, you're trying to figure out how much it's going to cost and then you match your revenues accordingly. But that's the process we have to do. So,
do you have a good feel for what these numbers are kind of like, even?
I don't. Do you guys? Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we do. We put that, well, it was part of the $100 billion, right?
Right.
In a series of presentations. So there's a listing of projects, and there's timing associated with those projects. So we are, you know, kind of gathering all that, putting together kind of a draft CIP, five-year CIP.
Yeah, I would anticipate that there will be a wider ranging discussion over that cost estimate as part of the intergovernmental agreement and kind of when those costs are going to hit. Because not only are we going to have our own internal costs, engineering agreements, projects we're going to have to approve, but at some point or another, DuPage is going to come to us and they're going to say, you know, we need a connection fee, we need you to start paying us dues or whatever it ends up being. So that's all going to be rolled into there too.
So then I guess the question, I mentioned at the last council meeting, I think, so there's two things that we're going to have to do. We're going to have to figure out how to correct that 2.5% loss, right, to get to 10%.
Correct.
So I'm sure there's some financial tie to that. And then the capacity, which is two more towers, maybe.
Yeah, no, you're exactly right.
Exactly.
So, right, you need to get your water loss. You're in good shape. You know, you're at 12.5% roughly percent. You need to be at 10%. So you have a plan together on how to get to that 10% level. So it's kind of a combination of items that are being recommended. One is upgrading your water meters so we can get more accurate data. So that will be part of the CIP budget. Recommendation, and then water main replacement is kind of stuff I know that program a bit, and leak detection. So we will see some numbers associated with that. get into major capital improvements. Yeah, there'll be like a receiving station, a metering station, some booster pumps, and then you're going to have some large ground storage tanks and two connection points, one up north and one down south. Basically, the whole setup of receiving, delivery, and storage at both north and south. The internal improvements are relatively minor. A little bit of water main, a couple control valves and things like that. But the main improvements would be at the receiving locations.
So those improvements, when do you think you see them coming on the horizon? Is that 3 years,
yeah, that's,
4 years?
Yeah, so that's working through that right now. So that would be my holiday project again.
Okay.
So that's
Merry Christmas. Wow, that's, yeah.
So we'll be putting together a schedule, and then we'll also be putting together a cost of timing as far as Eric has asked for. So, this is just roughly mapped out. We're just assuming that we're 5 years from January 1st, we'll be in water, and just kind of working back from there.
So it would fall inside your plan for the budget.
That's what we're assuming today. And okay. That can slide as negotiations slide or happen or whatever the case may be. But just to give you and the rest of the council just kind of a flavor of what we're looking
at. I'd rather have a tighter contract and be able to loosen it than say we're going to go for 7 years and find out it's fine.
Yeah. Okay.
We need a water rate discussion.
Hmm?
You need to have a water rate discussion.
Yep.
Definitely.
Probably sooner than we thought, maybe.
Real soon.
Questions?
Easy?
Nope.
Craig, how about you?
Okay. Excellent. So I'm going to move this forward to the January 11th meeting as well. Everybody good with that? Anybody have any old business? Additional business?
Just, did you hear back from IDOT about Plumer Road?
I did not, and Jason was texting me the same thing, and I was going to ask Eric.
I have not. I gave ComEd pictures of the old light that was there. I gave them, when it was taken out during that project, and I'm waiting for them to get back to me on why it wasn't put back from that project.
Because this is the time of year probably we notice even more that now people are coming home and start from work.
Absolutely. I will reach out to ComEd yet again.
Spring will work. The days will get longer. That's the only thing I have.
I guess there's just one thing that's kind of relative to the topic we have close to Auburn Creek and children not having walk into the street. We got limestone, so we have to go over there. Does that the limestone path?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Just haven't driven by that myself in a while.
Yes. Actually, we think it's much better over time. After that first year, it'll set up really hard and house stuff.
When you think that for snow?
No, maybe.
You just let
Come around and go.
Yep.
So the kids will still be on the street.
Can, or a lot of them will just keep taking the sidewalk. They'll walk through 3 inches of snow for a day until it's packed down, and then they'll just keep using the sidewalk.
Okay. I'm just curious.
Have you tried to clear probably the roadway?
We would take most of the egg line with us.
Yeah, that's what I thought. That's a good idea.
Thank you again for that.
No problem. I do.
Nothing else? Anybody have anything else?
And then Bart, did you say anything about, we talked about Tuma and then the Kennedy Road and Grand Reserve Light, any new updates on that?
Oh.
Nadia from Brad's office is checking with the developer out there to see if he has a timeline for ComEd. They've been in since summer. We're waiting for ComEd to actually energize those, the hookup lines.
This is what?
Freedom Place and Kennedy Road by the golf course, all those lights up to the school have all been in since the summer, but they're not energized yet, no power.
Oh.
Put that on my comment list.
Thank you.
That's all I got.
Thank you. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays.
Yeah.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
Yeah, Merry Christmas.
Go Bears.